We've been really talking about some things, the direction God has put us in. It's been really good. God is really faithful, I'll tell you that. I have learned God's faithfulness is unlike anything I've ever seen. If you haven't had the opportunity to prove God at His Word, I encourage you to do that. That may sound strange, but you know, we do need to prove God. Do you know that? We need to prove God. We go sometimes, well, God has proven me to see if I'm faithful. But you know, it is in the intent of God for you to prove God. Now, why would that be? Yeah, so that you know God is faithful. And you know God is true. You know God doesn't lie. There's only one way to find out if somebody's lying or not lying. Was it just take them at their word? Or you prove it? If you prove it, it's true. God is put Himself in a place to be proven that His faithfulness is real. That's awesome to me. I think that's fantastic. It's been true that we have been focusing on being perfect. We've been focusing on being obedient and fervent and faithful and things like that. There's something I want to talk to you about today that is absolutely, I mean, you've got to have this in your life. There are lots of things that you need to focus on when it comes to God. What I like about God is He doesn't put too much on you at one time. For example, if you are in a place of following the Lord, the Lord's not going to dump all of His revelations on you and expect you to know them, know everything about heaven. God doesn't even expect that. Now, I appreciate that about the Lord, because when we were born into this life, we obviously didn't know a lot about God or had forgotten a lot about God, but God has been faithful to continually talk to us and guide us to greater things. That is so awesome, man. And I appreciate about that about the Lord. But the thing we want to focus on here today is why we're actually here in this life. What do you think that is? You could answer it probably several different ways. But what do you guys think that is? Why would you say you're here? Just happened? Your mom and dad came together and said, hey. And poof, here you are, Tim. You had no idea what was going on, but yeah. And you think, okay, that's it. But one thing your parents could never do, they couldn't give the life to you. They couldn't give you the life, the spirit. So who's in charge of that? God's in charge of that. So if God is in charge of spirit and you are spirit, then there's got to be a point, because God is not just going to do things without purpose and intent. So that means every one of you here has a purpose, and there's a point to your life. There's a purpose for you being in this life. But the key is, what is it? Now, some people are sent. Take, for example, in the scriptures, did God send the prophets with a purpose? But then there were the people that He sent them to. Did they have purpose? What was their purpose? Thank you, Megan. They needed to hear the prophet. Now, which one is more valuable than the other? The prophet that was sent or the one that heard the prophet? Did the prophet have to be in a place where a word of God was sent to him? Yes. So was he in the same place before he went? Yes. So which one came first, the teacher or the student? You don't have to answer that. You do not have to answer that, okay? I'm just being funny. Point is, God came first, right? And God has by all of his mercy and his love, he has put us here, but we have to know why. We have to know why. And here's a thing I think that escapes a lot of people. When we teach, everybody all of a sudden wants to go from point A to point Z, all in a moment of time. In other words, I got saved, I gave my heart to the Lord, and all of a sudden, I'm supposed to be in the most perfect spot and finished. And we think this way. We think, God told me to be faithful, so why can't I be faithful? And when you can't be faithful, what do you get within? A lot of guilt, a lot of condemnation, lots of fear, and a lot of people quit. You know why? Because they missed this one very important thing. You were put here to learn. You were put here to learn. And until you learn, can you be faithful? Until you learn, can you be obedient? Until you learn, can you tell the truth? Until you learn, you will not be perfect before God. So what I'm saying is that we have the greatest opportunity that man could possibly be given. And that is an opportunity to learn God. That's awesome to me. That's awesome to me. Before I ever began to instruct others, what did I need? To be instructed. Now, if in our hearts we neglect my need to learn, then what have we done to ourselves? Have we eliminated God's word in our life? We have. So what I'm saying is that you have to understand, if there's nothing else in this life that you have come to in God, you need to come to this one thing. I need to learn. I am put here to learn. I am called to learn. God's example in Scripture was always send a word and talk to someone. Isn't that what happened to Adam? You know, I was thinking about something about Adam. And as I think about Adam, Adam was given commandment, right? Adam, of course, being the son of God who was formed from the earth. Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. A lot of the story begins right there, doesn't it? So what was Adam told? So there's trees in the garden, and Adam is told, of every tree you can eat. Every tree. Every tree. Now let's not focus yet on the one where he said you can't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We already know that, right? I want to focus on eat of these trees. And these trees in the garden were trees that came forth from God. Now why do you think it was commanded of Adam to eat off the trees? You're right. Adam needed to learn something. Now, here's the thing. Adam ate off the wrong tree, and now how was his learning? His learning was hard now. If Adam went out of the garden because he disobeyed God, and the whole scripture is about Adam getting back to the garden, right? What was the secret to getting back to God? What is the secret? It's going back to the very first thing that God said to him. You could eat off all these trees. Now imagine, here we are, and we have opportunity to eat off the trees of the garden of God, which is the word of God in simplicity. And if we neglect that, will we stay in the curse that was worked against Adam? We will. But the way to get back to God is to learn of God. is to begin to do what he instructed us to do from the very beginning. And that is, I have all the words of God you need. All you need to do is learn them. To me, that is so simple and basic. And when you give yourself to learning, do you know what you'll eliminate? Ignorance. You will eliminate your lack of wisdom. You will eliminate all your thoughts of, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't get this. What are they saying? What I don't get this. Help me. Lord, please, I beg you. I don't understand anything. Do you know? Here's what I've learned. The person that gives themselves to instruction to be taught will always come into understanding. Always. The people that complain the most are the ones that do not seek to learn. I have learned that. It is so true. The ones that complain the most, and trust me, in every one of us is somebody that complains. Every one of us. There are thoughts in man that complain about everything. Complain. If you handle God like that, what will you be an example of? If we look in the scriptures in the Old Testament, who complained and murmured? The children of Israel. What did God call them? What were they? By prophecy, what did he call them? Were they sons of God? Were they children of God? They were. So when God brought them a word of God to deliver them and told them, go to the promised land, but I'm not going to take you the short way. I'm going to take you the long way. Why? Why did God want to take them the long way? To teach them. And to prove that God was faithful. Now imagine, none of us knew or know that God is faithful until what? Until God teaches us. Until God teaches us. And if you are taught from God that he is faithful, you will never disbelieve that again. Ever. Ever. Now imagine it this way. Israel came to, I'm just going to be simple on the board. They came out of being delivered. Those of you that don't know the story, they were in captivity for 400 years, the people of God, in slavery to Egypt. God sent Moses as a deliverer to them. God poured out his signs and wonders and freed Israel and then said, now I'm going to go give you your own land, but I got to take you through this wilderness journey. He could have just took them straight there. Why wouldn't he? But you're talking about a people that had been living in another land, away from God. Does that sound like us living in the world? We've been fashioned by the world not to believe in God, not to live for God. We don't know God is faithful unless God says, I'm going to take you a route and I'm going to teach it to you. So the first thing that happened to them was they came to the Red Sea. And what happened? You guys know the story? There was a Red Sea there and they were stuck. They were stranded. When they turned around and looked behind them, what was behind them? The armies of the Egyptian were following them. To do what? Take them back. And so were they scared? Yes. Oh, yeah. Why? Why were they scared? Why do you think they were scared?
They thought they were going to die.
Yeah, they feared for their life. But let me tell you why they really were scared. Because they didn't know God could deliver them. They still didn't. Isn't it interesting that Moses could come into Egypt, pour out all these plagues and signs and wonders, deliver them out of Egypt? Did they learn God's faithfulness when he delivered them? No. So they get to the Red Sea. Is this another opportunity? To what? To learn. Okay, what'd they start doing?
Murmuring.
Murmuring? Yeah, they were afraid, man. They murmured, complained, and did they accuse Moses? Well, of what? Why'd you bring us out here, Moses? You brought us out here to die. Do you know the first person that always gets accused is the guy leading the way? Always. Okay. And so what did Moses do? He cried out to the Lord. And then God told Moses what to do. He parted the sea. And did they go across? Did they celebrate? When the sea closed up, it closed up on the enemies. Okay. So did God deliver them the second time? Yes. They celebrated. They danced. They sang the song, man. I think it's Exodus chapter 15. They sang. Woohoo. We got this now. We're free. We're free of Egypt. But they weren't free of Egypt because of why? What?
It was still in their heart.
Ah, Egypt was still in their thoughts and in their heart, wasn't it? Now, what do you think you're like after hearing about God for the first time? Woohoo! Hey, one of our biggest prayers in life is always when we're in need. God, get me out of this and I'll never do this again. Right? Liar, liar, pants on fire. But is God faithful still? God's always faithful. That's the good part about God. What I'm teaching you today is these situations are opportunities to learn God's faithfulness. So when they danced and sang, did they really learn? We only know they didn't because I believe they came to bitter waters. Was that it, Megan? What would bitter waters be like if you had no water to drink? You wouldn't want it. You couldn't drink it. But the point is, they had no water. So what'd they start doing again? Did they learn that God was faithful, or did they complain again? See, I'm telling you right now, the secret is they didn't know they were there to learn. They didn't know that. They expected everything to be handed to them on a platter without any faithfulness, without any learning. And I'm going to tell you, if you expect God to come into your life and just boom, over, that's it, guess what? You're going to have a hard life with God. You know why? Because you didn't learn nothing. And God is faithful to let will work. W-I-L-L. God is faithful to let will interact. Because in this life, do you guys have strong will? A lot of you? Have you ever had to make the choice of should I be faithful to God or should I not? You ever had to think that way? When you make decisions in life, have you ever had to ask, would I please God by doing this? Oh, maybe that's not even a question for people. I do. I'm saying I encourage you to think that way. You know why? Because when this life is over and our eyes fail and our speech starts fading and our hearing goes, and what happens then? What happens then? Have I learned anything from God? Have I learned God's faithfulness? Do I lay on my bed going, I'm not sure what happens to me now? Am I nervous? Am I scared? Am I still going, I don't want to leave this earth. I don't want to leave this earth. Or have I learned God's faithfulness? Have I learned that He loves me and I am not of this world? Have I learned that? Now, I'm going to tell you, this is awesome. When you learn you're not of this world, it will change your life, Keith. It changes you. It changes you. Because then your heart and your soul and your mind, you live for God. And then your choices start living for God. And I'm going to tell you, you know you're living for God when all your choices are about God. You don't have to get to every little detail. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not talking about, you know, eat this, eat that. wear this, wear that. I'm not talking about all that stuff, okay? I'm talking about a thought that's deep in your heart that says, I love God more than anything, and if these decisions in my life separate me from God, then that's big, man. At that moment, if you have learned something, then you have learned to make the choices to live for God. If I have learned God's faithfulness and His truth, then I have learned to live for God. And that is so cool. When they got to this next place, they complained again because they did not learn after three times already of God's faithfulness. And guess what? We could just keep going. I'm not going to keep going. But time and time and time again, they had provisions. They had provisions, and they still didn't learn. And so did they tempt God? Well, the scripture does say, these 10 times have you tempted me. The scripture talks about that. In the wilderness, instead of learning, 10 times they tempted God not to believe him. And God provided every single time. That was so cool. So was there someone there for them to learn from? Who was it? It started out at the beginning with Moses and Aaron, and then it moved on from there, even Miriam, and then it moved on from there with Joshua and Caleb. But did they learn? No. Okay, they perished and God raised up another generation. God has always provided what we need to learn. Always. Always. You can't take for granted the opportunity that you have to learn. I mean, this life is so vast. I mean, we're not promised tomorrow. By no means. We're not promised. So we have to take into account, in the fear of the Lord, that today might be my last day. And none of us are exempt from that, are we? None of us. So in the thought of fearing God, I have to take a thought that says, okay, how prepared am I? How prepared am I? And how faithful am I at learning? How faithful am I at learning? How much effort do I put my heart into my treasure of the Lord? Because we know the scripture says that, right? You guys know the scripture? Where your treasure is, your heart will be there too. So is your treasure learning God? Is it? Is your treasure the word of the Lord? Yes. Is it? If it is, then where will your heart be every day? There to learn. You'll be there to learn. You'll be there to learn. Then, okay, let's talk about this for a moment. If Israel would have known that they were there to learn, would they have expected something different? What I mean by that is this. From what they're murmuring and complaining, they obviously expected the wrong thing from God. But if they knew they were there to learn, you know what they would be doing? They would have to stop and think and say, oh, I get it now. This is another test. This is a test. We don't have any bread to eat, Moses. But you know what? He got us out of Egypt. He opened up a Red Sea. Did you see that? Did you see that when God did that? That was mind-blowing. He swallowed up the enemies. He gave us water when we had none, and now we need bread. Oh, my gosh. God's faithful. If there's anything I've learned, God's faithful. Boom, he'll give us the bread. And you know what would have happened? They would have ate bread and received of the Lord, and then continued every day after that to receive the many blessings of God. Let's look at it this way. How many of you have ever prayed and didn't get a prayer answered? I think everybody in the room could probably say that, right? How many of you have ever prayed and got a prayer answered? Here's my real question. Did you learn anything when you didn't and when you did? Because when you didn't, you might have said, God don't answer me anyway. So what do you stop doing if you don't think God answers you? You stop praying, don't you? You stop seeking. So if you stop, you're done anyway. You didn't learn anything. But if God didn't answer you, is there a reason? The key would be, why did God not answer me and learn something? But if you go, well, I need to know now, God. Why didn't you answer me? I need to know right now. And here you are looking for another answer of another prayer, and it just goes on and on and on. When in reality, God needs to teach us why. If you knew why you didn't get your prayers answered, would you now, because he taught you how to get your prayers answered, would you now know what not to pray and what to pray? That's what Jesus did. The key is learning, man. I want all of you guys to refocus your thoughts here in this life. God will give you everything he promised. That's a guarantee. There should be no question about that. But you may not believe that in your heart. I'm telling you, there could be some of you in this room that actually may not believe God is faithful, even though you come to church. You may say you do, but in your heart, you may be deceived in that. How do you find out? God needs to teach you, don't he? So I'd say everything at this point now is to learn. What does God want to teach me? Because here's what I have examined. How can you teach someone else if you yourself have not been taught? What will you teach? False teaching. You'll teach lies, won't you? You'll teach lies. Have you ever met somebody that says, I believe this? And you say, well, why do you believe that? Look, just because I do. Yeah, but why? It's because I do. That's it. Yeah, but there's no reason why you believe it. I believe it. Leave me alone. And I've noticed the people that haven't really learned nothing but only believe something are very defensive about it. I'm saying let's bypass all of that and get down to the truth. Why do you believe in God? And your answer should be because, you know, I've come through Egypt and God delivered me. I've come through the Red Sea and God has delivered me. When I had nothing and I was full of fear and doubts and unbelief, God spoke a word to me that calmed my soul, man. It regenerated my heart. And he delivered me from thinking in fear and in condemnation. When I was in doubt, God brought a word to me and delivered me, and I know I've overcome that doubt. Yeah, he humbled me. And that would be a good answer too. Is why? Why do you believe? Because when I was in so much pride and arrogance, God came to me and humbled me. And then he loved me. He wounded me, then he healed me and raised me up. I will never forsake God. Now, these are the testimonies that God wants to teach us. If you're able to answer these things, your testimony and your witness of God increases, doesn't it? How many of you have sat across the room or in a meeting like this and been put on the spot and really didn't have an answer? You say, why do you believe that? Well, I'm just trying to follow, man. I'm just trying to follow. Is it my intent? Well, you don't know my intent, do you, unless God visits you and shows you. Let me ask it another way. Would it be the right thing for me to do to keep all of you guys like little children? Say, no. It doesn't matter what you believe, just do what I say. What if I did that? That'd be craziness. And there's people out there that do that. But that's not what I want to do, and that's not my intent. My intent is to grow you up, man. To grow you up. If you have a need, God can answer it, and he does. But are you willing to learn that, or are you just ready to get out of a jam? That's another question we have here. Are you in a jam that you need to get out of? That's why you need God? Or are you in a jam because I'm here to learn? They say between a rock and a hard place. Am I here to learn, or am I here just to get me out of here, God? Which one? I hope you're here to learn. And in this life, you are going to go through so many hard times. So many. And when I say that, I don't necessarily just mean physically around us, because sometimes our life can be good. But as we have seen in the news, suicide doesn't always come to the ones that have a rough life here. It comes to the ones that aren't settled in their heart. Comes to both. A lot of people that could be wealthy and lots of money and fame and all this stuff, and yet they don't want to live anymore. Why is that? There's been some things missed of the purpose of why you're here. One day, you will have learned, and God will send you out to do His will to the greatest levels. But until that happens in your consciousness, are you ready to learn? Who's going to be the leaders of the church? If I go out of here today and I'm not here tomorrow, who's going to lead this church? Who's going to do it? But I'm saying, in this life, you never have guarantees. Who's going to lead this place? Who's the one that have given themselves to learn the gospel and lead this place? Who's going to do it? Ladies, we got any ladies in here that's going to do it? Who says the next pastor has to be a man? If the ladies are faithful, they'll lead it. If the men are faithful, they'll lead it. But nonetheless, we start now knowing that I am in this world to learn the Spirit of God and for God to talk to me and to operate in the things of God. I'll tell you, that's awesome, man. You want to learn, or do you want to just go through life always having guilt and condemnation and doubts? I'd say we want to learn, wouldn't we? Now let me help you out with something. What should the Word of God create in you if you're learning? Okay, His will, yeah. The Christ, yeah. Oh boy, these are good answers. Yep. But I'm thinking different right now. Okay. Now let's go this direction. This is a good start. All those answers were absolutely true. And I expected those answers. But now I want to focus you somewhere else. Micah said the opportunity to learn something else. Okay? So would that mean if the Word of God comes to you, does it create in you a question that will cause you to seek the Lord? It should. For example, where did this sin come from? Why am I so full of sin in my thoughts? Why am I so full of fear? Where did this come from? What is going on here? The Word of the Lord came to me and said, I don't have to be in fear. So why is this fear in me? And where did it come from? And how did it get there? Because if the Word of the Lord says it don't have to be there, where did it get there? I want to know. That's how I think. And then what does that put in you? It creates in you a seeking. Lord, You said to come after You. I'm going to follow You. Now, Lord, I don't know how to follow You. How do I do that? You're going to have to teach me, because I don't know how to follow You. The preacher told us to be perfect. I have no idea how to be perfect. Lord, that word just created in me a question. How do I be perfect? He told me to obey. How do I obey, Lord? Teach me to obey. You see, you follow me now? If you're not provoked, it's going to be hard to learn, isn't it? It's going to be. As kids, we just kind of drift through school, don't we? What's our number one goal in being a kid in school? You got it. It's to get out, man. I just finished this. And if anybody has an opportunity, any kid has an opportunity to ever skip school, well, we got a few rare kids that are, I don't know what happened to them. They were just of a different mold. They like school. But most people in general don't like to give themselves to it. You know, adults, what do you need to become to really put yourself in learning about God? Do you need to go back to being a child? You hear me now? Listen to me. Children know nothing. Nothing. Remember that, parents? Remember that moment where your kid walks up to you and says, "Dad, what does that mean?" You want to just be like, "What? What do you mean, what does that mean? Hello, McFly." Your kid's never been taught, you know? So as a small child, the child wants to learn. What if you were a child? What if you gave yourself to the Lord to be taught everything and you didn't act like you knew everything already? Come on, adults. We know everything. I've been through religion my whole life. I know everything about religion. I know what to expect. I know all about them people. Yeah, but you don't know God yet. You got to know God. Because it's easy to say, I've grew up in church my whole life and I know a lot of things. But remember, Adam ate off the tree of knowledge. So he knew a lot of things about a lot of things. But what was he lacking in? Understanding the Lord. So I'm saying as adults, all the adults in here, what if you were to put yourself as a humble child before God? Could God teach you and restructure you and raise you up the right way? Yeah. But if you're not teachable, you won't learn nothing. Here's the things we used to say around here when we used to study this equals this, this equals this. I already know that. Yeah, I know. I got it. I got it. I know. I know. I know. Do you understand? Yeah, I got it. I know. Turns out we only knew this equals this. But when we're put on the hot seat in a place where the enemy's behind us and the sea is in front of us, all of a sudden, who do we need now? Did Moses stand up and say, "This equals this"? No, they learned by experience, man. And I'm saying the Lord wants to teach us. Can we be taught? You want to be taught? God's a good teacher. God's a good teacher. But I will encourage you this. One thing we have fashioned, and I have to say thank you for this because this edifies God. Here I am as a pastor of the church. I live off the tithe that you pay. Now, number one, I could say thank you because that benefits me in this life. So I don't have to work a job that we would call a job, but I work a job, trust me. The thing is that over time, my thoughts have been converted about that whole thing. Because that's an area of faithfulness that you do. What has God been faithful to do to the ones that live off the tithe? You know what he's been faithful to do? Teach us. So now, after God has taught us things of the Spirit, what do you think our greatest desire is right now? I know it's to live for God and to be in heaven. But in this life, wouldn't it be just to share what we've been taught? See, I don't feel no obligation to have to come and chase you down, but I do have such a great desire to take the things that I have reaped and to sow them to you so that you can now reap your own harvest. That's what we are about. So our whole setup here has been about the Word of God, sowing and reaping. We learn, we teach. When you learn, what do? You teach. That's what I'm telling you. And so on and so on and so on. And you know what? We look around, let's just speak real plain right now. You look around, as some of you have questioned in your mind, thoughts, size of the church, the whole thing. You know what? None of that detours me at all. None of it. You know why? Because God said that I will raise up faithful men and women, and I will speak my word to them, and this word will carry on. So size doesn't matter to me. The amount of the building, luxury, all of that stuff, all of this is insignificant when it comes to the power of the word of God we're talking about. I would rather have a small place where the people of God know God is faithful and can talk about it than to have some big luxurious building and nobody know nothing about God. And so all of our effort has went into speaking the word of God, speaking the word of God, speaking the word of God, so that you can be delivered from fear. And your questions in your mind get taken away of why this and why that, so that you know God for yourself. And I would rather spend all our time upon that, knowing that God's going to deliver you, because the word of God doesn't lie. And so in this lifetime, the greatest thing that you could ever have in your physical life is a word from God, and to be able to learn from that word and grow from that. Isn't that exciting? I mean, it is to me. So I encourage you guys, focus. Focus your attention on this one thing. If you say, I don't know why I'm here, I'm not sure, I'm not in the ministry. Well, there are certain ones that are in the ministry, certain ones that are not. Where do I fit in? All of this stuff. Listen, you're here to learn. God wants to teach you. Disciples were rebellious. Okay? Everybody know that, right? Disciples, did you know they were rebellious, right? But after 3.5 years, did they learn anything? Yeah. Learn, man. It's that simple. Learn. Give your heart to it, though. Give your heart to it, okay? One last thing, and I'm out of here, man. Studying the Bible and learning the Bible is tricky because every human being is different, okay? Some people have learning disabilities. Some people have, I used to say it. Rick has told you guys, I used to say it. 15 years ago, I used to tell Rick all the time, I'm slow, man. I don't get it. I can't get this. I can't get it. Well, here's what I've learned. The Holy Ghost outdoes your mind. The Holy Ghost outdoes your infirmities of thinking. The Holy Ghost outdoes what you call my simple mind, and I can't learn this and I can't learn that. Have an experience with God, and guess what it'll do for you? It'll change your mind. And I learned that firsthand, man. Firsthand. I was a guy that was kind of looked at the book of Revelations like, what in the heck? I don't know anything about this. What are the prophets saying? Next thing you know, God starts teaching me. Wow. I'd love to talk about the book of Revelation now. Oh, man. You know why? Because now it connects me to heaven. Learn. Be connected to heaven. Michelle's learning one of the greatest things that we all need to learn. It's not about me. Who's it about, Michelle? It's about the Lord. Whew, that's big. And she loves it. Don't you? Oh, yeah. It'll save her life. But, yeah, okay, so we're good? We're good. Everybody just be faithful, man. Take a load off here and relax in your learning. I wish I had time to talk about that, but you got to relax with your learning, okay? God ain't snapping the whip. He is ready to teach you. Ready to teach you. So relax. Calm down. There you go. Say that louder, Keith.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
There you go. All right. God bless you. Have a wonderful day today. I'll see you this week.